Previously on Algoa FM.
She's a multi-award winning poet, writer, performer. Her name is Phokazi Jonas. We met, first met about 2 years ago, if I'm correct, and her work has become a powerful voice in South Africa's literary scene. It's such an honor to have us here with us today. She's got a debut poetry collection called Weeping Becomes a River, and it was released this year by Penguin Random House, and it marks a major milestone in her career. She's chatting to us this morning. We're diving into the stories, the emotions, the cultural reflections that are woven into her compelling works. Phokazi, good morning, and thank you so much for joining us on Algoa FM Breakfast.
Good morning, Lee. Thank you so much for having me.
Weeping Becomes a River, title of your poetry collection. It is only the second poetry collection Penguin Random House has ever published in South Africa. The first, if I'm not mistaken, being an anthology that was done by Beverly Rycroft. How does this milestone feel, and what does it mean for poetry in the country?
Goodness, it feels really, really special because I think it speaks to the growing voices of South African poets, especially contemporary spoken word artists, performance poets, and just this surge and wave of voices that are coming out in the moment, because we have incredible independent publishers as well. And so to have a traditional publisher like Penguin be able to see the potential of what we have to say and its significance for the country, for the continent, for the world, feels really special. So I'm excited to see more poets being published by Penguin after me.
You mentioned voices, and so important, obviously, for one to express themselves, especially young voices. And your collection, you know, explores themes of cultural and linguistic alienation, which you had to confront as a young Black Model C learner all the way back in the 90s and the early 2000s. How exactly did those experiences inspire your work?
So I think the best way for me to actually answer you is to read a poem, if that's all right. That I think is going to speak exactly to your question.
Go ahead. Go ahead, please.
Fantastic. So this poem is called Training Class. After crucifying Ubuxhosa bam, wounds dressed in school uniform, tongue bound for 6 hours to avoid detection and detention, then migrating home by bus to hydrate with ginger beer. I wish I'd asked the ground ginger dredged through a straining cloth how it felt to surrender the flavor of its body to a drink, then be discarded. Wars are won and lost with bodies. In former white schools, we were thrown as bones, securing victory for Athens, breaking the architect of apartheid's curse of abundant education in exchange for new accents to finesse our way into white economy. Had I foreseen my excavation, a heap of ex-miners and domestic workers eroded to silicosis and arthritis, Black employees code-switching daily, rooms dressed in traditional costume on Heritage Day, I would have been less annoyed by traces of ginger escaping a straining cloth to lurk at the bottom of my glass and in my throat.
Mm, I feel seen. This is me giving finger clicks. Finger clicks. I feel so seen, and I'm sure it resonates with many a South African. That is the story, of course, of thousands of young learners in that particular environment. Your work, you know, it balances personal stories. It balances broader social issues, clearly. I mean, even within that particular poem, how do you decide what to share and what to hold back? Because you really you're quite vulnerable in that moment. You seem to be sharing quite a lot.
Oh, absolutely. I think there are probably a number of ways of being able to approach work in a way that doesn't just re-traumatize you as a writer or re-traumatize the audience, especially when speaking about painful things. And for me, I always try to make sure that I write work about things that I've already processed, that are able to cross the threshold from something that might feel like a diary entry, for example, into art. And part of that is also working with an editor that's able to have an outsider's eye and help to really push you deeper into thinking about how you're using language to express and not just sort of, you know, bleeding all over the page, as we sometimes say. So it's thinking about processing your own trauma, thinking about how it might read and be received by someone else. But, I have an incredible editor, Vangile Ganja, who helped me to be able to work through crossing that threshold constantly from just sharing heartache, for example, or even joy, you know, all those very, very different emotions into being able to craft it into something that becomes a poem.
Yeah, and I suppose, you know, it really does have to be personal experience for you to be able to perform it authentically. And you've had a successful career in both performance and writing. How would you say performing poetry has influenced the way you write it and vice versa?
You know, there's something strange that people always say, or maybe it's not strange at all, but they say that those who've heard me perform can hear my voice and read my work in my voice when they read. So I think there's something about being able to carry the voice into the work through that process. And, you know, as someone who really, really loves storytelling, I try and bring the energy and life of the voice into the work. So whether it's being able to read and knowing that, you know, the comma will allow you to breathe, it guides you in knowing where to breathe and to bring the voice alive. I think it's something natural that happens because I've spent so much time as a performing artist. But it's also bringing in my own traditions. It's a close traditions of storytelling into the form of this book in particular that I think elevates it into something that I hope when someone holds the book, they feel, I want to read this out loud. I want to sit around the fire. I want to share with family. I want to share with friends. And we want to hear these words come alive, come out in our own voices.
Absolutely. I mean, Spokazi, it's a hell of a responsibility, you know. You are carrying the feelings of a lot more people than just yourself, and you are expressing those as well. What do you hope people will take away from your poetry?
So there's something that I've been, when I'm signing, and this is probably something that's really new for me with performing artists, is having to carry around pens and sign books for people, where I say, I hope that these words converge with the tide of your own stories. And so for me, it's allowing this connection that these are my stories. These are about stories about people close to me or things I've observed in the world. But I hope that they'll unlock something for the reader that has to do with their own pain, with their own blockages, with the things that need to flow in their own lives. So it creates a space that allows the reader to share their own stories, their own experiences, and what has been formative and shaped them into who they are. So it's not really as much as about what they'll learn about me, but my hope is that in sharing so much of things that matter to me, it creates a space where someone feels like I can talk about what matters to me as well.
I love the symbolism and the metaphors there. You know, the title, Weeping Becomes a River, one could unpack that in so many ways. You speak about flowing. There's obviously a lot of healing in purging and weeping, essentially, you know, the transformative nature of life, essentially, and just this passage of time and this eternal, you know, flowing of time. So river representative of all of that, and crying, weeping, very healing. Spokazi Jonas, thank you so much for chatting to us. Very quickly, where can people order, get copies of Weeping Becomes a River? I know you've got a website, sipokazijonas.com. Is there anywhere else where the book and the poetry collection is available from?
Yes, absolutely. First, thanks so much for having me. It's so wonderful to actually speak to to Go FM, because I'm a Queenstown girl. So,
yes, you know, Eastern Cape girl.
Can't wait to come home for Christmas. So that's where I'll be. But the book is available at Exclusive Books, Bargain Books, a number of large independent booksellers. So really, it's available a lot. On Takealot, on Amazon, it's available everywhere. So you just have to plug it in online or walk into Exclusive Books, walk into Bargain Books, and you'll find it there. If it's not, please tell them to get it.
Yes, absolutely. Spokazi, we are incredibly proud of you. We are so thankful that you made a moment to chat to us, made time to chat to us, and a fantastic, fantastic milestone. You have made the Eastern Cape proud. You have made Komani proud. And we look forward to welcoming you back home over the December holidays.
Thank you so much. I really, really appreciate it.
Thanks, Spokazi.
Your digital library experience. Podcasts from algoafm.co.za.